This is Joanna Schrader reporting for Domestic Fuel, and I am with John Christensen, partner with Christensen and Associates. John, how are you?
I am doing great today, Joanne.
Well, John, you've released a fantastic report. It's your second annual biofuels benchmarking report, which is actually very unique for the ethanol industry. So, John, let's start off and talk about what were two or three of the key findings that your report found from 2010?
Well, in 2010, what we've done is we've looked at an analysis of 2009 and 2010 and what were the trends and what's been happening within the ethanol industry. And there's been a lot of unique things happening within the industry, and one of them is we're seeing a general rise in commodity prices. But even though there was this sharp rise in commodity prices, and people are very well aware of the corn and other commodities have risen dramatically, so has the fuels. Oil prices have risen, which has brought up the ethanol price as well. So actually, even though the commodity prices have risen, we've actually had an improved margin ratio, and so the margin volatility has been less, which is when I'm talking about margin, I'm referring to the margin between ethanol prices and the feedstock cost, which is corn and other feedstock costs, as well as the DDG's sales price. So the margin volatility has been less, even though we've had this large rise in commodity prices in the last 2 years.
So, John, does this mean that an ethanol plant who's hedging their bet on commodity prices can still financially see a profit then in these last couple of years despite higher prices versus, let's say, 2008, 2009 when we saw a huge issue of bankruptcy in the industry?
Yes, the profitability for the industry has been relatively stable for the last 2 years. We've seen the profitability increase by over $0.08 per gallon over the 2 years. And part of what's taken place with that stabilization and profitability is the recovery from the 2008 period. So we're seeing plants have really strengthened their balance sheet. They're focused on looking at their business, looking at their balance sheet, and how do we position ourselves to be strong and be a survivor going forward in the future.
Don, in terms of some of those positions, are some of the things that a plant can do then, should they be investing now that they have more capital? Should they be investing in more improvements? Should they be reducing debt? Should it be a combination of both? What's a good strategy for the industry?
Well, what has been taking place in the industry in the last couple of years is that plants have been focusing on reducing debt. They've been focusing on building working capital. We've seen the equity to asset ratio increase by over 10%. During the last 2 years. Now, that's a significant jump of an industry where your equity has increased over 10% in the industry during the last 2 years. Working capital improvements have allowed the plants to decrease their long-term debt on an average of 20 cents per gallon. Now, that's a significant reduction of debt and healing of the industry. So we've seen plants really bolster their balance sheets, become strong, become liquid again, and now what they're doing is looking for where are the opportunities. We're not seeing many new plants, greenfield plants, begin to be developed. What we're seeing is where can plants look at increasing efficiencies in their own plant? Where can they increase their product diversification, explore other markets with products that they are producing out of the plant?
So, John, in order for you to have determined this, Your study looks at five core, what you call benchmark areas in an ethanol facility, and we should point out that when we talk about ethanol, we're talking about the ethanol industry as a whole, whether it's first generation, second generation, doesn't matter the feedstock. So what are those five benchmark areas, and why are these particular ones so important to a plant?
That's a very good question, Joanne. And when we look at it, what the benchmarking analysis does, it actually analyzes over 90 financial and operational factors. And what we've done is we've looked at, okay, during this last two-year period, 2009 and 2010, what are some of the things that have drawn that we can draw some conclusions on and where they have had some significance as far as trends in the industry? And one we talked about is the profitability side of it. where we've had increased profitability. And part of that, your initial comment associated with the commodity prices, the commodities have risen over that two-year period, but the ethanol and feedstocks were highly correlated, over a 99% correlation, 0.99% correlation, allowing better grind margins. Another thing that we've analyzed, that we do analyze, is the regional analysis. And we're looking at the margins among the regions, and when we look at regions across the country, we look at the western region. The western plants have unique characteristics. The central plants that are right down through the central portion of the country, and then the eastern plants that are east of the Mississippi have unique characteristics as well. They all have very similar grind margins, but those grind margins are there are similar for different reasons. And so that we find that very interesting in terms of why those grind margins are where they are. In the east, as an example, has higher ethanol prices, lower higher DDGs, netbacks. Central regions of the country, those ethanol plants have lower feedstock costs. And the western plants have good ethanol netbacks, and they have very low energy costs because they're producing a lot of wet DDGs. So that's been a very interesting to analyze the regions of the country. The other we talked about are the balance sheet improvements. Fourth one is the production efficiencies have continued to improve within the industry. And the last one is the energy costs. Energy has been historically low as far as natural gas used to operate the ethanol plants, and it's been negatively correlated with other energy sources, which has been a big advantage for these plants.
John, in your opinion, talk about, so you're seeing over the course, you know, it's only been 2 years and you continue this study, you're seeing these significant improvements with these plants. Are they at the point where they're the best they're going to be, or do you think there's still a lot of room for these plants to improve in their energy efficiency, hedging their commodities, et cetera?
I would say that's one of maybe the unique things of this industry is that the ethanol industry is driven by a group of innovators. As a whole, you'll see the clients we work with, everybody is striving to continue to improve their efficiencies, whether it's their ethanol yield that they're going to get from a bushel of corn or some other feedstock, whether it's their energy usage that they're going to. Everybody's striving to provide a more energy efficient plant. Everybody's striving to produce more ethanol using less water or having a zero liquid discharge operation, so that the innovation continues to transpire through this industry, and I think it's going to continue on.
So, John, closing, you have your conference coming up next week, and a lot of this will be discussed, but in your opinion, or I guess, you know, give the industry a piece of advice. You've been working with the ethanol and biodiesel industry for more than 17 years. This year we are seeing, you know, record high corn prices. The VTEC is under fire. What huge piece of advice do you have for these plants to manage their risk during such a volatile year?
Well, looking at operations of an ethanol plant today, one is you have to operate your business within the parameters that you can fundamentally handle the risk. So if I'm a plant that has very little equity, or if I'm on the low side of the equity spectrum, I have to manage my risk accordingly. And I have to look at, maybe I'm not going to be out there to realize the top price or speculate that there's going to be some additional gains in the ethanol side of it. But I have to manage my risk in accordance with my ability to handle the volatility. If I have a big balance sheet, and I am stronger, I can manage my risk. I can take more risks accordingly. I think at this point, plants have to put the lever down. They have to strive for efficiencies. They have to know where they are among their peers. The idea is that if we do have an excess production, we have the loss of VTEC, and we do have an excess production, I want to be the plant that knows that I'm not on the lower tier. My cost structure isn't on the high side. Because it's the lower tier plants that are going to have to shut down their production first. if I'm a low-cost producer, if I'm in the right market, I'm going to continue to produce because the market is going to demand my product.
And, John, the report is available for a very low cost for the entire industry. Where can they go to register or to sign up to get a copy?
Well, they can just go to our website, and they can get it at www.christiansencpa.com. And on our website, the report is available. If they're a participant of our benchmarking service, they're going to get the report at no charge. But otherwise, people in the industry certainly can have access to the report.